different than ourselves. We have to embrace the diversity of the nation. Starbucks is a diverse organization, and we want to do everything we can. It was a terrible moment for the company. It's not something that we're going to forget, and it's something that we learned a great deal from, and we're still learning it about. And I would just say, as somebody who grew up in a very diverse background as a young boy in the projects, I didn't see color as a young boy, and I honestly don't see color now. And I want to do everything I can in terms of the character and the dignity of what it means to be the President of the United States.
All right, so you know we talked briefly about this last week in another context, but it was fascinating to see it come up over the week with regard to this interview. So this nonsense, here's the different point I wanted to make about what he said. So he says, ever since I was a kid, I was in a diverse environment. I didn't see color. As we know, that's a lie.
Very ignorant.
That's just a bald-faced lie. Okay, if you had to describe someone, you know what their color is, mm-hmm. etc. You know what their eye color is, hair, you know, whatever. So, which, you know, I don't pay attention to. I don't know anybody white. You know, everything's a hair color and eye color. We don't pay attention to that because, you know, it's whatever. It's complexion is what we pay attention to. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's just a lie. But it also shows that regardless of socioeconomic status, education level, you hear the same kind of sentiment from all kinds of white people. And you know, it's almost exclusively white people who say this.
Yes.
I don't see color. Mm-hmm. There is nothing. This is an instance where people of color is relevant. You don't hear people of color saying that. Nobody. You know, I don't see color. Okay? Because it's absurd. All right? And as I mentioned before, if the only way you can treat me, have we had a caller? Did they drop?
He said, you guys are a joke. And I said, would you like to say that over the air? And hung up.
Wow. Bring it. 813-239-9663. Yeah, you either counter with some facts or sit down. All right, so the fact that he would say, okay, I'm colorblind, whatever, we know that's nonsense. Right? But regardless of socioeconomic class, education, here's a billionaire, you hear the same kind of sentiment as if, I mean, in what universe does that make sense? But when you talk about things in terms of, well, because of my color or, you know, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. then it almost lends itself to that kind of conclusion. Well, if I just pretend I don't see your color, I mean, but it's absurd. It's not about my color, right? Mm-hmm. It's about the sociopathology that you associate with who I am. Yeah. It's not. There's nothing wrong with my color. There's nothing wrong with anybody's color, right?
Right.
You know, it's the mentality, and that's why I don't like even when we say, you know, because of the color of our skin. I know it's easy to fall into, but that's not really quite accurate, because then that implies there's something wrong with the color, and there's nothing wrong with the color.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with the color. So just wanted to talk about that colorblind comment. And then we have Colin Rand Kaepernick, right? So we have had a number of things happen with him. Namely, of course, the big news was that he came to a settlement with the NFL, right? Both him and Eric Reid settled on an amount which they said was about 60 to 80 million, speculating because it's subject to a confidentiality agreement. $60 to $80 million. Okay? $60 to $80 million. And obviously that's a whole bunch of money. And so that's kind of interesting, kind of where that leads us. We already had earlier in the week the Wisconsin legislature removing him from a resolution because he was too controversial. He was born in Milwaukee. You know, he's a Wisconsin guy. But they removed him from the resolution. There was only one member of their legislature who voted against this resolution, leaving him off. And they did try to get him on, but the Republicans wouldn't sign it. And so he ended up being left off, which is unfortunate. How are you going to leave Kaepernick off the resolution? You know, so what? He's controversial. What black figure in history that was about change,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't controversial. Mm-hmm. We went through Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. and, right. you know, as mild as he is, you know, how he was hated, okay? So I really think I would have rather, I know this is harsh, but I would rather no resolution. Mm. I would rather no resolution. If you're going to let them take him out, okay, city, I mean, I think the city is going to have a resolution or whatever, you know, but the legislature, the one that was going to kind of go out for everybody, you know, they took him out. And that's the one that passed, unfortunately. So that already happened. Then there was a guy, when Nike, you know, made him the face of their campaign, he, you know what I'm going to go to. This guy, he took all the Nike stuff out of, you remember, people were burning their Nikes.
Yeah, they weren't burning
any Jordans, okay? Hold on. They weren't burning any Jordans. They were burning these, you know, ones you get from Kohl's or whatever, you know? So they weren't burning, you know... So they weren't burning none of those, but he took all the Nike gear out of his store, his shop, and he ended up closing down.
Ended up going out of business.
And then he was like, "What?" No, he was like, "I guess there are more Kaepernick fans than I thought."
Wow.
Yeah, bro. There are more Kaepernick fans than I thought. 813-239-9663. This is WMNF 88.5. You're listening to Kai Wright in the Fourth Estate, where our topic today is going to be not my president, but we have been going over. We had a bunch of announcements earlier on, and a lot of thank yous to all of you who gave to our pledge drive last week. I want to again thank you. You guys are definitely superstars.
Yes, thank you.
We did a great, great job. And that's all because of you. And it's not too late if you haven't had the chance to give yet. Go to WMNF.org, put in your search bar, Sunday Forum, Tampa, and go to the tip jar and hook us up. We need about 500.
Approximately.
$480 more, mm-hmm. okay? So, you know, help us out there. But yeah, so that was crazy. But this, you know, this is very interesting, this settlement, right? So we don't know what it says. Does it say that he can't be in the NFL anymore?
Right.
See, that would really worry me. I don't think it does, but that would really worry me, you know, because people are like, well, did he sell out? Or no, this is a case. There was a settlement. Mm-hmm. And the NFL does not settle. The NFL, look what they took Tom Brady, okay, the golden boy, Tom Brady. They took him all the way. They were going to go to the Supreme Court if the Supreme Court would have accepted the case, because they went to the appellate court on Tom Brady and Deflategate. They fought him to the mat. Okay, but Kaepernick, they backed off. So he had to have had some good information, right, that was going to expose the NFL, expose what they did, expose the collusion, or otherwise embarrass them. So, okay, so he took a settlement. Now, I'm not happy about that if it somehow affects his ability to come back in the league. Like, because I want him, because it doesn't solve the problem,
right?
you basically give him money.
It shut him up.
Yeah, and you know, the collusion case is not proved. We don't get this all, you know, we don't get a punitive penalty, you know. Mm-hmm. That's redundant, yes. You know, from the, you know, $80 million is a lot of money, okay? But how does this disincentivize the NFL to continue to engage in incessant racism? So, but again, I understand settlements. Right? Okay, so someone doesn't want to go to court or whatever. Maybe there were some pledges inside of the deal that the NFL was going to do. So, I mean, we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he demanded some things from them. You know, we don't know.
Critical is he going to continue his protest movement?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that would be a very important, you know, part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope he gets signed. I hope he gets signed. I hope there isn't a provision that precludes that.
Right.
And I hope he continues, you know, his protests.
Yeah.
Did you state an amount?
60 to 80 is what is speculated. Mm. Million. Mm-hmm. Big money. Yeah. Okay. That's Mr. Money Mayweather. I'm still wearing Gucci and then knucklehead.
So many current events.
Our lines are full.
Yeah. So let's, but not for a long time. So let's go. Let's go to Simon. Let's go to Simon from Lakeland. He says he's got a surprise current event that we didn't mention. So, hey, how
good
you doing,
morning.
Simon from Lakeland? Hey, Simon, we didn't hear from you last week, man. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I am more than willing to donate. I just donated $400 to the battered women I donated $100 to the temple, so on and so forth. I'll be more than happy to donate money here once the Jewish program after you gets free speech.
Okay.
No problem at all. Okay.
So okay.
It's not a it's a free speech issue.
Okay.
But
I think they have gotten free speech for years, you know, and to say some of the most horrible things you can think. I'm taking it back.
Okay, so let's get to your our lines are full. So let's get to what is your surprise current event?
Well, there's a couple other issues I want to talk about,
Very quickly, we're not here just for you to talk about events that we're not talking about.
Kai, I'm very disappointed in you in the soup du jour on race issues. You did not mention Angela Rye and stating that blacks came here as immigrants.
Oh, come on now, Simon.
Simon.
First of all, it's Kaya. Come on, you've been listening for a long time.
And
Angela Rye. Listen. I think what Angela said, I think what she was talking about. Listen, I'll speak to that one. It's kind of related. I saw all that online. This is actually old. Simon. But I think what she was trying to say, because she got dragged for that, and
she came. I saw it.
And if you go back, if you follow the following, because she tweeted about it, because people dragged her about it, and what she was saying is that there are black immigrants, like for example, 21 Savage, which we're not gonna get into, which is another good topic actually. But 21 Savage and other Caribbean, actually, most of the immigrants what I'm thinking about are people who are from the Caribbean. So she got dragged for that because obviously we did not immigrate here, and she stated that she was basically saying that black people are also immigrants, which that is true. There are immigrants who are black people.
Not the origin of black people coming to this country.
Exactly. Yeah, she got dragged. But I think she clarified it. So
you gave her a pass.
No, I didn't. I thought she clarified. I'm going to be fair. All right. You got something else, Simon?
Wait, yeah, and you're going to give the pass to the actor from Empire who staged the.
That's not resolved yet, Jesse Smollett. That's not resolved yet. I'm waiting for more facts to come in before we go there. So we'll see.
Okay, if I lose, I'll bring you in a dozen of donuts.
All right, Simon, you have a good day.
Take care. Bye.
All right.
Take care.
All right. That was a better call from Simon.
Yeah.
All right, Daryl. Hey, Daryl, how you doing?
Morning.
I'm doing okay.
Good. We missed you last week, brother. We missed you last week.
Yeah, we can always. Well, you should say that. You can always donate, even though you may have an official, to raise funds, but you can always
donate. So please, WMNF.org, all right? It could be $5. I don't care, but I know you enjoy the program, so help us out. We just got like $480 to go. All right, so what you got? You got colorblind issue. What you got?
Very quickly.
Yes.
What you just said about that issue about race. I knew a young lady. She's married to a black man, and she happens to be white. And we were talking about a race issue, and she has children. One is black, one is white. And she had come out of her mouth. She said the statement, "I don't see race." And then you got the hold up.
Wait a minute.
I got the red light, and I start to say, well, for those of us who believe in God, even God, created diversity. When you go in a floral shop, you don't go in there and say everything in here are roses. No, he created chrysanthemums. He created
carnations.
He created tulips. Created all kinds of flowers.
You're right.
That you don't see race. Come on, deal with the issue. Yes, we are here. We ain't going nowhere. And you ain't going nowhere. But I want to leave you with this. Ms. Wright, who really is the real HU? Hampton University or Howard University?
Let me hang up this phone right now. Daryl, how dare you? How dare you blaspheme on WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate? The real HU is Hampton University in Hampton, Virginia, founded in 1868. Yes, and I know the other one was founded earlier, but we're the real one. All right, all right. Thank you guys for listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kai Wright in the 4th Estate. Daryl, like I said, not too late to make a donation, brother. Help us out. All right, we got another regular, Django from Maine. Go. How you doing?
Yay, yay.
Yay, yay. Hey, use another one we missed. Come on, brother. Help us out. Help us out.
And that's why I'm going to jump on you for sure.
But let's do it.
And my name, I didn't use the Django from Maine.
Okay.
I didn't use my superpower pill.
Oh, okay. 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 You kept it on the DL. Okay.
I use my American Gavin name, so you would be confused.
Okay. Your government name.
Well, we appreciate you.
Love you, brother. Appreciate all the support.
I know y'all. See, y'all have called me out, but make that Simon like to talk all that crap. Make him tell him to donate. He got plenty, and all those with plenty.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, that's how we make it. So, you know, I'm gonna keep it real. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep it real.
Hey, let me tell you something. A little history about Django from Mango. I was working down there, and I happened to work and touch hands and elbows with the famous Kenny K while he was working with the Humpty Hump. I did that at that radio station, 88.5 with Twilight.
Okay.
Yeah, I got history now.
Okay. All right. So, you know. All right. We appreciate you, brother.
I came both ways. I put in my time, and I still put in my time because I believe in what you're doing.
Okay.
So, you know Tempest, right? You know Tempest also.
Hey, all of y'all doing something. It's better than sitting on the sidelines. I done did that.
Okay.
And you know what, Billy?
Mobili, yeah,
welcome back.
I work with Mobili. Mobili used to come on my show regular. I got videotapes where I used to have TV shows, same as y'all doing. We was already doing that. We was already on the color.
All right.
Okay. All right.
So come back, Ron. Come back.
What you got on Kaepernick there?
Hey, I'm saying you got the man for bending down a knee and throwing him out the NFL when he got the best passing ratio. He doing his job. How you going to fire him? I was just telling my son, that didn't even make no sense from the beginning because it's not doing, you know, you telling me, don't do it. Well, why not? I'm free. I'm limber. I can drop. I can come up. I can do it every day. So I would just take a knee right here because I don't like what's really happening. So, I mean, that's personal things, and they should have never hold that. And it's the last thing I'm going to say about it. It's your birthday. Go Kaepernick. It's your birthday and the brother, too. I forget his name, but Kaepernick really hold it up. And it was
Eric Reed.
I wouldn't have, Eric Reed, but I wouldn't have never thought that a light-skinned brother like Huey Newton would stand down like that. So that's what I'm saying by color. I can't go by color.
Can't go by that.
I've had the opposite. They think they the other people, and I'm like, hey, I'm a homeboy. What's up? I'm not your homeboy, and I'm not your brother, and all that. You know the cold word.
Yeah. Sometimes it's overcompensation. Like sometimes with short men, how short men do. You know, Napoleon complex. It's like that. But yeah, I agree. He shouldn't have been out of the league, and hopefully he'll be back.
Kyler, that was not enough because I see this all the time. You take that money, times what he would have been made. Say he was making $20 million a year, and he'd been out 3 years. That's just that.
Yeah.
It's not where the money at. I mean, that's money still because he had to suffer through all that. That's why I was saying go because he deserved a break. And on top of that, go USA. If you're going to do it like that, I hear what you say.
All right. And actually, he'd been out two seasons, 2017, 2018 season. But I think that I hope he gets a shot because I miss football. I've been boycotting. I haven't watched a bit of football, since he's been out of the league. So, you know, I hope they get him back in there, but not until they do right. Not until they do right. And they're still, again, there's no incentive for them not to engage in racism if they can just give him $80 million ain't nothing across 32 owners, all of whom are billionaires. That is a drop in a bucket.
Right, and they should give him all his rights. He should have never been stripped, is what I'm saying. How you stripping me? They had some undue influence. You had all kind of the president coming out there.
You're right. It should have never happened.
He's nobody's word. I mean,
72 to 30 TD to interception ratio. I mean, you know, it's extremely good. Better than a lot of these trash quarterbacks they got now. These garbage quarterbacks they have in there now. Nathaniel Peterson. You know, he may be nice people, but I mean, they shouldn't be in there before Kaepernick.
There's a long list of those things. I don't listen.
Yeah, I listed like 20 of them one time in an argument. But hey, I got to get some other callers. But good to hear from you, Django, and thank you for supporting the show.
Hey, same here, and y'all keep it going.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, this is WMNF 88.5. You're listening to Kaya Wright and the Fourth Estate. And our topic, which we're going to get to after a break, we're going to get to these last two callers. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back and talk about Not My President. And we're not talking about who's in the office now, because he is the president, okay? But I'm talking about our founding fathers in light of President's Day and the fact that they weren't our president. They were not our president. So we have Fred in Lake Wales, who want to talk about teacher calling cops. So, Fred in Lake Wales, how are you doing? Welcome to WMNF 88.5. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Thank you. I'm doing fine. Thank you. And thank you for taking my call.
No worries.
I was calling to mention, you know, in reference to the teacher calling the cop on the young child for making the pledge, I was thinking that at minimum it would be good because there's so much character assassination, you know, for black males, and then, you know, with our young black man like that, it would be really nice, in my opinion, for that teacher to write in a letter of apology. And you're talking about a teaching moment when they can state, I was wrong, continue to stand up for your rights, you know, or at least from some sort of official capacity, that a apology would be, you know, just keeping it simple,
yeah.
A letter of apology.
Yeah,
that would be appropriate for him.
I agree. Along with that, I think they said she was a substitute and that she's not coming back or something. But you know, you're calling the cop on an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy. And for what? I mean, not like he started fighting you or something, or assaulting you or something. He's just like, absolutely not. I am not going to. And I, you know, whatever they're saying, maybe she didn't know. But that, so what? She also told him, if he didn't like it, that he could go to another country.
Oh, yes. A letter of apology. I think that was really
right.
Really
that was
for him.
Yes.
I really
think. In another profession. She should be working in another profession.
Yeah. My thoughts about it is that the child stated that he was arrested. So my thing is, you know, in that article, it mentioned that he wasn't arrested for not standing up for the pledge. He was arrested for not complying and what have you. But I'm like, at what point did you call this child's parents? You know,
The young child was arrested.
Yes.
It stated the child was actually arrested. So it's not, you know, I agree with you about the apology, but I think we can go even further because of the egregiousness and to the extreme that this child may have been placed in handcuffs. Because my thought is when you're arrested, you're placed in handcuffs. So no, that is mentally traumatizing to this child.
Well, that's already gone beyond the school. I said it's keeping it simple. But to be honest with you, I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I think that it's gone beyond that. And even there should be some sort of discretion from law enforcement officials about certain things. So at the minimum, you know, a letter of apology. And then, too, for that to be addressed in the community by the officials. Because I'm seeing some things happen in our country. And at the same time, there's some things that are not going to go away.
You know, like racism.
Folks are starting to stand up, tell it like it is, see what's right, do what's right. And there's some things that needs to be done from an upper level. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear about
how
I was arrested. I really am.
But well, yes, thank you. Thank you very much, though.
At least at a minimum.
Yeah.
And then for that to be addressed, you know, beyond too as well.
Right.
Thank you for your show.
Thank you, Fred. Take care. All right, and we got Chris from Clearwater. Chris from Clearwater, you're on the Sunday Forum. Now, before I say I didn't hear from you, do you have some other name we don't know about?
No.
Okay, all right. So, hey, listen up. You know, please do. Please help us out. Hey, how can we help? You said we have national emergency you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I do promote you. Just a couple quick points talking about the Pledge of Allegiance, that liege, the term liege means lord in the feudal sense. So what you're saying is that you're declaring that the government is your lord. And to refuse to make that pledge is quite reasonable. When it comes to the boycott and divestment sanctions movement against Israel, to boycott Israel, Governor DeSantis says is anti-Semitic, but he is anti-free market in claiming that, and in doing in his declaration that state of Florida, employees are not allowed to be reimbursed for their travel through Airbnb because Airbnb is supporting boycotting Israel. So I would just suggest maybe we could counteract that action unilaterally by Governor DeSantis. Just because someone is anti-Israel doesn't mean they're anti-Jewish. Just as
I mean, absolutely. And I mean, that whole thing, another current event we can get to with Ilhan Omar, it's completely ridiculous. And I think that those state statutes, I think if they're challenged, like what's already happened in Kansas and Arizona, I think they're going to be struck down. Again, it's still lower level, but it's pretty clear First Amendment violation. So,
yeah, and just as being anti-German doesn't, or being anti-Nazi doesn't mean you're anti-German.
Right.
And, you know, it's really kind of astonishing to me that the U.S. Department of Commerce, for at least 10 years of which I've known, explains that it is illegal for a company in the U.S. to boycott Israel or to call for the boycott of Israel and to report to the government anyone who even requests they boycott Israel, that they even boycott Israel. Mm.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Next point is the emergency that we should not become accustomed to living under a national emergency, and it is a huge deal because in just 3 weeks, or just, 20 days, it'll be 86 years since national emergency was declared in this country that we have grown up, or most of us have grown up in. That goes back to 1933 when FDR declared a national emergency. And what I want from this president is the same as from all others since FDR, is to repeal the state of a national emergency, which is used as a lame excuse to exercise undue power for a lot of most executive orders. And in the 1990s, I learned of Dr. Eugene Schroeder's book, Constitution, Fact or Fiction, where basically Congress delegated their authority to the president to act as king. And that is not constitutional for them to do so, because a constitutional amendment is required for Congress to delegate any of their authority to anybody. We have the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917 that allowed the president to act as king, World War One. Then it was amended in 1933, furthering the tyranny that was highlighted by the fact that Americans could then be considered enemies in that amended Trading with the Enemy Act, amended in 1933. And since Bush Jr., we have extrajudicial rendition. Americans unilaterally declared enemy combatants in order to murder them. Do we really want to live in a constitutional republic? I think this issue is really brought that question into the limelight.
Well, I guess we're going to see. I mean, thanks for the information and the call. You know, we'll see because it's being challenged. But, you know, obviously the first one was, I'm looking here, 1979, that was declared EO-12-170, and that was with regards to, I want to say, blocking Iranian government property. So it had to do with the Iran hostage situation. So, you know, we'll see, like I said, but the hypocrisy does not escape me, okay, in all of these other national emergency declarations that were not national emergencies. Some I could see, but some I do not. So we'll see. I think it's going to be upheld. So we'll see when it gets up there.
Well, I just hope that maybe Congress, we can let our congressmen know that, yeah, presidents have been declaring all these acts without the Constitution. Well, all our laws are basically Swiss cheese now because of all these unconstitutional acts that have gone on for so long. And if I just found out that I just heard yesterday, I need to do some research, that in the 80s there was some challenge the Supreme Court said that both the president and Congress have to agree to end these continuing states of national emergency. And in 1973, check out Senate Report 93-549. That's 93-549, Senate Report from 1973. And if I could just give you the first paragraph, it says, since March 9th, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. In fact, there are now in effect four presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency. In addition to the national emergency declared by President Roosevelt in 1933, there are also the national emergency proclaimed by President Truman on December 16, 1950, during the Korean conflict, and the states of national emergency declared by President Nixon on March 23, 1970, and August 15, 1971. These proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives...
Who introduced this bill?
Pardon?
Who introduced this bill?
Well, this is Senate Report 93.
Okay, all right. So this is a report by... Okay, all right.
Yeah, the last sentence, as I was saying, ordinarily these powers ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country.
Chris, you're written in the book.
Yeah, hurry up. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to let him. He's at one last sentence, so.
Without reference to normal constitutional processes, this vast range of powers taken together confer authority to the president to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. That's what the Senate Report 93-549 says, and that's what...
Okay, all right. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And, continue to call in, but we're going to...
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut it short here.
Yeah, always
right.
Come with that knowledge.
All right, thank you. All right, yeah, so the time flies, especially when you have a long call like that.
Yeah.
I guess that what the brother was talking about, he was like, I let people talk too much.
813
I'd like to hear from our callers. But good information. We're talking about national emergencies, so on point. And again, want to hear from you guys. 813-239-9663. But we're going to go to a break really quickly, and then we are going to go into some information about our presidents, right? Some information about our presidents. And what it is that they've done that you may or may not have heard of. And this is an underground neo-soul artist. So I'm back to an underground neo-soul artist as opposed to one we all know. This is Amp Fiddler. Amp Fiddler came out with an album, I want to say, I think the first one was like in 2000 or so. But anyway, this is, and I picked this one because it's talking about the White House, right? And it's talking about, basically it's called Paint the White House Black, but it's called Black House, and it's by Amp Fiddler. So let us hear that song. Let me just make sure I can pull it up right here. All right, Amp Fiddler. Can we hear it? Okay, can't hear it right now. Let's go to a live read, and then... And then I'll come back to this because it looks like it hasn't been quite downloaded.
Okay.
All right. So there we can. That way I can make sure it's squared away and make sure we're good to go. All right. All right. So let's go.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Senka Ophia Choral presenting our legacy, the African American Spiritual at Polk State College of Fine Arts, Saturday, February the 23rd at 2 p.m. More at drjonesacademyfinearts.com. And thanks to all of, thanks to all of you who donated during our winter pledge drive. It is not too late to give. Call 813-238-8001 or donate online at wmnf.org. We can't thank you enough. And thanks to our generous donors who supported WMNF during our winter drive. We are so close to reaching our goal. It is not too late to do our part. Please call 813-238-8001. Give online at wmnf.org or through the app. We look forward to thanking you next.
So do you think
Hi, I'm Lee, and I'll be hosting the first Pinellas County edition of the WMNF Road Trip on Wednesday, February 20th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Queen's Head in St. Petersburg. I'm looking forward to spinning some great tunes and meeting you as WMNF continues its road trip around the Tampa Bay area. We're going to get our motor running and head out on the highway to the Queen's Head in St. Pete on February 20th. Go to WMNF.org for more information.
The Sunday Forum with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate is a dynamic radio show designed to bring unique, intelligent, and unapologetic perspectives on race, culture, and politics to radio. With renowned guests, heated exchanges.
Let me tell you, I am just furious about the conversation you are having. This is not a black and white issue.
Well, your point is one that we hear racist whites make all the time.
And topics designed to empower the community. This show is not to be missed. Tune in Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WMNF 88.5. All right, we are back, and now here we go. We're going to listen to Black House because it's relevant, because it's talking about the White House, all right?
Painted, yeah. hatred into peace in our communities. Check the future of our climate control. Bring tornadoes, hurricanes, flood the death toll. Mama's old and over in her grave. Pops envision living better than slaves.
All right, all right. Welcome back to WMNF 88.5. You are listening to Kaya Wright and the Fourth Estate. And we are talking about today, Not My President. And we just had a great conversation about our last bit of current events. And now we are going to get into some information. And, you know, this mic is getting on my nerves. Okay. Okay, it's got me all pushed over here. But so I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, I talked about 45, and give us a call at 813-239-9663 if you have anything to add about the president's and some of the information that I'm about to give. But I talked a bit about how we have had a lot of conversation because of what happened in Charlottesville about taking down monuments or renaming schools, and there's a lot going on now that has to do with a lot of our quote founding fathers. And after Charlottesville happened, and obviously the impetus for that whole the march was the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue, then 45 asked, well, are we going to take down, you know, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, et cetera. Like I said earlier, yeah. You know, I mean, are we going to change this name to, yeah, why not? Okay, why not? And of course, the argument on the other side is, well, you know, nobody was perfect. Nobody is perfect. And you know, people do bad things. But there are a couple of things you have to look at when it comes to assessing what a person's done and how that relates to their legacy. Okay, for example, we know there's evidence that Martin Luther King cheated on his wife. Okay, so, okay, that's not a good thing, but it doesn't have anything to do with his legacy, right? What he was talking about was racism, et cetera. And the nature of what he did, while, you know, it's not something that's good, it's not something that is so egregious so as to, you know, have us look at what it is that he did. So you have to look at the nature of what was done and how it relates to that person's legacy. And so you have to look at that legacy. Now, you take a, you know, psycho murderer like Hitler. Okay, a military strategic genius, Blitzkrieg, which, you know, Blitz in Blitzkrieg was before him, but the way he used it was very effective. Blitz in football comes from that word, Blitzkrieg, okay? The Autobahn is somewhat attributed to him, the highway that does have a speed limit. It's not no speed limit, but there's some stretches, etc. But of course, the man is a mass murderer and genocidal maniac, so nobody cares about anything like that, right? Nobody talks about that. So that's like a difference, right? That those things, the bad, would override anything that anyone would see as positive, okay? Objectively, okay? And so it's the same kind of thing here. You got people who enslaved people. Now let's talk about our presidents that enslaved folks, of which there were 12, who either had slaves at one time or had slaves while they were in the White House. Okay, for me, obviously, that's a pretty significant item. So how come when it comes to, again, when white people were the heroes in World War II, okay, so what that guy did, well, okay, that's really bad, and so we're going to wipe out everything, and, you know, it's all bad, right? But when it comes to what happened to black people, then it's like, well, you know, but look at these other great things that they did. Okay, I don't care about the great things that they did. Quite frankly, you enslaved people. Do you know what that is like? Okay, and it wasn't like slavery that was, people like, oh, there were slaves all over the place. Yes, there were slaves all throughout history, but chattel slavery was not the same. Chattel slavery was not the same as what had happened all across, you know, the world or whatever that people always want to try to bring up. So why do I have to see, you know, this person's name or that person's name or whomever on streets, on schools, etc.? Yeah, that's a legitimate question. You know, why do I have to see a Confederate flag going down I-4 and, you know, et cetera? Okay? Now, obviously, that would be a free speech item, frankly. So, and I'm a free speech absolutist, okay? But my point is, people are very, very, very forgiving towards these people who enslaved our ancestors. Now, let's talk about a couple of them. So, George Washington had about 250 to 350 slaves. One of them ran away. He put out an advert, and he was not playing, okay, about getting the slave back. And Thomas Jefferson had about 200, and one of them escaped. It was an 11-year-old. Speaking of 11-year-olds, okay, it was an 11-year-old boy. The boy escaped because, and actually, I was thinking about podcast names and other show names and stuff like that, and Drapetomania. Have you heard of Drapetomania, Alvaro?
No.
So when a slave ran away, the assumption was that something was wrong with him or her. Because why wouldn't you want to be enslaved? Right? So they gave a runaway slave a disease name, and they called it Drapetomania. So you were diseased if you wanted to run away. You had some kind of disorder because you didn't want to be a slave. Okay? I mean, completely ridiculous. But Drapetomania is what it was called.
Wow.
Okay? So Jefferson said about the slave who had run away and had gotten caught. You know, he was like, obviously, he needs to be severely beaten, you know, for having done that in order to kind of set an example. Now, this is the same Thomas Jefferson, right, you know, whom we venerate, right? You know, Monticello, the whole nine, you know, all men are created equal. And we all know that, you know, they didn't mean black people. But to hear this kind of thing when people still try to defend these people is the problem, right? Given what it is that they had done. And we'll get into him a little bit more. But James Madison had more than 100 slaves. James Monroe had about 75. Andrew Jackson as well. And you know, that one's, you know, well known, right?
And we also want to mention that he was a governor of Florida.
Yeah.
Went to Cracker Barrel this past week down on the Florida State Fairgrounds. And I'm referring to it as the Governor's Mansion, but they have like a replica there. You have Rob DeSantis on the end there, Ron DeSantis on the end as the current. But the first is Andrew Jackson.
Wow. Did not know that. And actually, there's something I want to play here that, I'm sorry. I'm trying to reach over here. Sorry about that. Right. There's something I want to play here that really sets this up before I go through the rest of these. This is from Clint Smith. It's a letter to five presidents. There are actually more than five presidents, but I think he's maybe only referring to the ones who had them in office, but maybe not. But listen to this great poem by Clint Smith.
Letter to five of the presidents who owned slaves while they were in office. George Washington, when you won the revolution, how many of your soldiers did you send from the battlefield to the cotton field? How many had to trade in their rifles for plows? Can you blame the slaves who ran away to fight for the British? Because at least the Redcoats were honest about their oppression. Thomas Jefferson, when you told Sally Hemings that you would free her children if she remained your mistress, did you think there was honor in your ultimatum? Did you think we wouldn't be able to recognize the assault in your signature that's raping your slave when you disguise it as bribery, make it less of a crime? When you wrote the Declaration of Independence, did you ever intend for black people to have freedom over their bodies? James Madison, when you wrote to Congress that black people should count as 3/5 of a person, how long did you have to look at your slaves to figure out the math? Was it easy to chop them up? Did you think they'd be happy being more than just half human? James Monroe, when you proposed sending slaves back to Africa, did black bodies feel like rented tools? When you branded them, did the scar on their chest include an expiration date? When you named the country Liberia, were you trying to be ironic? Does this really count as liberation? Andrew Jackson, was the Trail of Tears not enough for you? Was killing Cherokee, Choctaw, Creek, Seminoles not enough to quench your imperialism? How many brown bodies do you have to bulldoze before you can call it progress, Mr. Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Jackson, when you put your hand on the Bible and swore to protect this country? Let's be honest in who you were talking about. When the first Independence Day fireworks set the sky aflame, don't forget where we were watching from. So when you remember Jefferson's genius, don't forget the slaves who built the bookshelves in his library. When you remember Jackson's victories in war, don't forget what he was fighting to preserve. When you sing that this country was founded on freedom, don't forget the duet of shackles dragging against the ground my entire life. I have been taught how perfect this country was, but no one ever told me about the pages torn out of my textbooks, how black and brown bodies have been bludgeoned for three centuries and find no place in the curriculum. Oppression doesn't disappear just because you decided not to teach us that chapter. If you only...
All right. So great poem there by Clint Smith. And again, you know, expecting us to celebrate these folks. Look what happened. Tried to give Martin Luther King a holiday and he had to, you know, threaten and, you know, drag states kicking and screaming even to have them recognize clearly a very revolutionary person who should be honored. And it's, you know, it took till what, 2000 and something before it was all done, right? And, you know, here we have these folks who, yes, there were things that they did that were good. Okay, got it. All right. Wrote, you know, founding documents, which, again, did not apply, as Clint mentioned, it, as we all know, to our people, to all people, and was only focused on... Only focused on white folks. And people talk about, well, it was only, you know, property owning. They still weren't enslaved, even if they didn't own property and were white. So they may not have had all the rights of a property owning white person, but they still had their freedom, right? They still had their freedom. And those documents obviously were hypocritical in how they were applied and even when written. I went to Monticello and they take you to the room where you know Jefferson was writing or whatever, and there's like a window there where the slaves were. So you would have been like looking out of your window writing these pages to the degree that you were writing from there, because that's the place where he wrote a lot. And you're looking at slavery and you're talking about, you know, all men are created equal? Really? Yeah, you know, and it's so insulting to have people basically express no empathy for how it makes us feel to be celebrating these people. Okay, to be celebrating these people.
And Kaya, just a quick correction. I think I'm a little hungry. I said Cracker Barrel, but it is Cracker Country.
Okay.
The Doyle family. It's not the Florida State Fair.
All right. Yeah, I'm hungry too. She's being fair. I might be give me some of that fair food, but probably not. I got work to do. So, also Martin Van Buren, William Henry Harrison, John Tyler, James Polk, Zachary Taylor, Andrew Johnson, and Ulysses S. Grant. Okay, all owned slaves. Okay, all owned slaves. So that's 12 of our presidents. And so, you know, you think about that as you're, you know, told that you should celebrate these folks or whatever. And we also have other presidents who may not have owned slaves, but definitely engaged in overtly racist acts, obviously. We have Woodrow Wilson, right? So there's a big controversy going on right now at Princeton with renaming certain things because buildings, etc. You know, obviously, Princeton with Woodrow Wilson. But, you know, a huge segregationist, right? And, you know, and... It's just crazy. You know, he threw civil rights leaders out of the White House. I mean, all of this stuff, but then you have things named for him and people say, well, you know, you're being too sensitive. Here's my favorite argument about that. Again, give us a call at 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. Not my president. Talking about presidents, our founding fathers, and a lot of their thoughts, views, etc., things that they did that we may not have known about. There was also actually, going back to the argument that people make, when they say, well, you know, that was a different time. You know, it was a different time, and people, you know, thought differently then, okay? Here's the thing with that argument, aside from it being ridiculous, is there have always been people who have known that those things were wrong. Not the least of which were the people who were being subjected to the wrong. Okay? So this argument that basically it's a very childish argument. It's the everybody was doing it argument. That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Everybody was doing it, so...
That makes it okay?
Yeah.
No.
You know? And it's absurd, okay? Because there have always been people, even amongst their groups, other white people, Quakers, mm-hmm. for example. Yep. The Quakers, even back after, you know, during the after the Revolutionary War, they were like, okay, so how is it that you still have slaves? Like, didn't you just fight for your independence from England, and here you go, continuing to enslave people? Don't you think that's hypocritical? You know, there's a very good book I have. I have to find it to get the title. But I got it at Monticello, mm-hmm. actually. I got it at Monticello, and it went through. It was going through the debates, the constitutional debates, et cetera, and it's very, very, very good. I'll get the title, and I'll bring it back. I'll add it to our book list,
right.
which I still need to hear from you guys, my co-hosts here, if there's anything I missed, because I have it ready to pin on our page for you guys. But very interesting to hear... You know, these kinds of arguments about, you know, well, that was the time and we can't apply what's happening now. Some things are wrong regardless. Right? It's back to the blackface. You notice that this is a constant excuse. Well, you know, I didn't know. Or maybe I just didn't know. You notice the consistency across centuries. You know, obviously it was not about it being a different time. People knew then, people complained then, and even some of these same people who had slaves, Jefferson, et cetera, talked about, you know, kind of the struggle, if you will. But it's basically like, well, but, you know, but it has to be done. No, it doesn't have to be done. Okay? And we're not even going to talk about the lack of compensation, reparations. That's going to be a whole nother show because I'm going to actually start a project on that.
Yeah. I think someone is putting in a what we refer to it as a bid or a call for that. I think it's a Democratic candidate. Or maybe somebody that's already in office, I read recently.
Yeah, there's been a constant bill that's been introduced mm-hmm. repeatedly. I think every year, mm-hmm. but it gets like nowhere. Like it doesn't get out of committee or whatever. It's almost become symbolic now. But it's really atrocious. And actually, I want to say there's a clip from the 80s or something like that. I like to watch old clips. But there was a clip when they were going through, I think, either the Japanese reparations or Jewish reparations, something like that. And there was a black congresswoman, and she was like, okay, we're doing this now. I'm paraphrasing. She was basically like, we're doing this now, but I hope there's a time we can revisit this issue for black people. You know, and, you know, and people have the nerve to kind of throw up their arms and like be all these trillions and billions of dollars we're giving all over the place. Give me a break.
Right. What's the issue? It's too many of y'all.
You know, give me a break.
What's the problem?
You know, but that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show. So with regard to that's kind of the core argument that people have kind of against it, right? They'll say, and give us a call if you guys, you know, have some thoughts on 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. We're about to go to our closing music here in a minute. We have a caller who I want to get to, though, really quickly before we go to our closing music and close out and talk about a very special guest that we you know, pretty much locked for next week as our guest. But I'll tell you guys about that in a second. So we have Russell from Tampa. I want to talk Washington and Jefferson. Russell from Tampa, WMNF Tampa. This is Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate, and you are listening to the Sunday Forum. What you got, Russell?
Are you starting a petition to take down the Washington Monument and Jefferson Memorial?
I am not starting a petition. Are you starting a petition to take down these items?
Absolutely not.
But oh, okay. Okay. All right.
For half an hour.
What's that?
You're not going to put your money where your mouth is, huh?
Hey, listen, I'm just saying that these are things that need to be done. I'm talking about this issue. I got other things I'm working. You can work that. Okay? Thank you, Russell. All right.
Hey, that's an idea.
Yeah, you know. Hey, let's do it. You know. Yeah, I got plenty of things to be doing. So, definitely not my president. Definitely not my president. These presidents who engage in this activity. Now, let's talk a bit more about Thomas Jefferson, right? So, Thomas Jefferson of Sally Hemings fame was one of the few presidents and the first recorded where there was an exchange, a sale of a slave to another slave. He sold John Freeman to President James Madison. And that was the first recorded instance, but he also sold Thenia Hemmings, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Thenia Hemmings and her five daughters to President James Monroe. Okay? And again, remember, he also advocated beatings, right, of, you know, the 11-year-old. You know, it's so funny. When I was doing the research and everything, I was like, man, we're talking about an 11-year-old getting the cops called on him, and now we're also talking about an 11-year-old who was beaten. And here are just a couple of his quotes.
And this is a guy that's supposed to be very enlightened.
Yeah.
Coming back from Europe and seeing all the changes there.
Yeah, you know, he has stuff that he's supposed to be teaching, you know, teaching us and, you know, the great Jefferson. He said, I now employ a dozen little boys from 10 to 16 years of age, reported Jefferson. He says that their unpaid labor provides completely for the maintenance of my family. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? And the one who ran away, he said, I had him severely flogged in front of his old companions and committed to jail. Oh, okay, okay. You know, nice old Jefferson. And remember, it was Jefferson. Notes to the State of Virginia, I mean, it's obviously very lengthy, but it's a very good read. And there are some very interesting passages there. And in one of them, he talks about so-called this struggle about slavery. You remember, I've talked about that holding the wolf analogy bit, and that's where it comes from. Thomas Jefferson talking about, it's like holding a wolf. Like, you can't keep hold of it, but you can't let it go. So this is like, but you can't let slavery go, though. You know, I mean, you're trying to, yeah, the wolf is going to bite you. OK, but we just want our freedom. Right. So that's not about something that you can't let go. You just want to be greedy and get this free labor, which built this country. All right. So, you know, we have a number of our presidents. And again, but I want to talk about some of the ones that we venerate so much, given how they have treated black people. And then, again, we have this holiday for them on tomorrow. And it's like, okay, well, when I think about these people, I don't think about anything good. Mm. You know, I don't think about anything good with regards to, you know, what they've done for black people and to black people. Mm-hmm. And not only us, frankly, you know, Trail of Tears. I mean, the whole thing, right? It's like with the whole $20 bill, right? With Harriet Tubman, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was Jackson.
That they're trying to replace him?
Yeah, well, they wanted to leave him on the back. I think that was who it is. But, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. But, hey, that's all we have. Gosh, I wish I had more time. So, listen, thank you guys for listening. Next week, we're gonna finalize the lock, okay? Finalize the lock, but we should have Kenny Stills, VFO, next week, all right? Miami Dolphins receiver, he's been the one. He's been kneeling the whole 3 years, every game. I record all the kneelings. If I don't have a source for it, then I don't name it, okay? So, but, you know, looking forward, again, we're trying to lock the time, making sure we can get it. So I'm keeping fingers crossed that we can get him in. So should be a really, really, really great show, because this is a man who stands for something, and, you know, despite the consequences. And so, you know, we definitely want to hear about that. So I want to thank you guys again for listening to the Sunday Forum with Kai Wright and the Fourth Estate. Remember, you can still give. Go to WMNF.org, Sunday Forum, tip jar, and help us meet our goal. But thank you very much for all you have done. We don't have time to play an outgoing cut, because it's only going to have a couple. I wanted to replay, actually, that Music Soul Child half crazy, because we didn't get to hear a lot of it last time. But anyway, we will see you next week on the Sunday Forum, WMNF Tampa. You guys have a great rest of your weekend.